KNOM Profiles.
Preliminary costs for the state's proposed road to the Ambler Mining District will likely be 10 times more than the original estimates. As the project heads towards assembling an environmental impact statement, or EIS, this summer, the cost of simply investigating the road's feasibility continues to swell, even as basic questions about financing, community approval, and potential conflicts of interest remain unanswered. The Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, or AIDA, is spearheading the Ambler Road project for the state, but many of the more direct logistics are handled by Dowell HKM, a company contracted with AIDA to manage the project. At a meeting on Monday in Kobuk, Dowell facilitated discussions between leaders from the three Upper Kobuk Valley communities before making a presentation to residents on the road project's status. Jill Yordi studies mines and waterways for the Northern Center, an environmental research group in Fairbanks following the Ambler Road project closely. She says costs have gone well above original estimates.
Back in 2010, when the Alaska DOT started this project, they proposed that the entire preliminary portion of the project, to get all the way through permitting, would cost $4 million. Right now, we are in the neighborhood of $25 million, and it's expected to top $40 million before permitting is done.
Since AIDA took control of the budget from the Alaska Department of Transportation in 2013, the annual budget has more than doubled. In April, AIDA put out its request for proposals to conduct the environmental impact study required by federal standards and specified that cost is not a criteria for considering bids. The 200-mile road would go through lands managed by federal, state, and tribal entities and has complicated permitting requirements. AIDA will only have a year to coordinate with other agencies compiling the necessary data. That's an extremely ambitious timeline given the scale of the proposed road. Yordi is concerned that the state is pouring money into a project that doesn't yet have basic certainties established and downplaying the scope of scientific research still needed.
The biggest pause for me is the timing. I don't think that there's nearly enough time allowed for adequate scientific studies of everything that they need to take into consideration. This road is definitely, it would definitely be the first of its kind. It would be the first major east-to-west road in Alaska this far north. There are a lot of variables here that we don't know anything about.
The counterargument is that the EIS process itself is the tool for establishing those impacts. The native village of Shugnak recently passed a resolution agreeing. It supports using the EIS to gather data and deciding afterwards if the benefits outweigh impacts to the environment and subsistence. Fred's son is from Shugnak and serves on NANA's board of directors. He told the meeting attendees that scientific data from the EIS should be seen as a complement, not competitor, to traditional knowledge of the region's ecology.
And whether or not your decision is to support this road or go against it, I think it's just as important you support the EIS process. I understand how important it is, traditional knowledge is to us, but we also need to hear professional knowledge.
But many of the questions raised at Monday's meeting are unlikely to be answered from data gathered on wildlife and habitat. For example, there are no hard numbers yet on how many construction or mining jobs residents can expect, or who will be allowed to use the road, or what will happen to it once the proposed mines in the Ambler District eventually cease operating.
You claim that this road will be an industrial road only and that it will be put to bed when the mining is done. That's a fallacious claim. It's misleading. It's a ploy to reduce the opposition to the road. We all know that when hundreds of millions of dollars are spent on massive bridges and all this infrastructure, they will not be removed. This road will open up the Central Brooks Range and the Western Brooks Range permanently. It won't be removed.
That's Ron Yarnell, owner of a wilderness tour company that would be affected if the road is built. He was one of several members of the public that called in to AIDA's June 4th board meeting with concerns about the Ambler project. He and others say the state is ignoring clear opposition from stakeholders in the interior for the benefit of NANA and Nova Copper. John Gadecki, another business owner in the Brooks Range, also questioned the state's priorities.
The state appears to be ignoring public opposition, certainly to the east, to put forth this project. And the mining company itself is a new company, but the management personnel in place are responsible for failed mines already in Alaska, as well as huge environmental damages and fines in Alaska. and previous class action lawsuits in both Canada and the United States. I do believe that Ada is capable of finding worthwhile development projects for this state, but I do not believe that this is one of them.
Nancy Wainwright spoke on behalf of the Village of Ambler and asked the board to investigate possible violations of federal standards for conflicts of interest.
Dow HKM is also a consultant for Nova Copper. We would like full disclosure before any further actions on the EIS process. If Dow HKM is working with Nova Copper and working with Ada, that does appear to be a conflict of interest, and we would ask that Ada look into that matter.
In the fall of 2011, Dow prepared several reports for the Department of Transportation on access to the Ambler Mining District. That same fall, they're listed as a contractor doing environmental baseline studies for Nova Copper. And at that point, Dow was majority owned by Nana Development Corporation, although those shares were sold off in 2012. A Dow spokeswoman says she's looking into how any possible conflicts of interest were addressed, but no response was ready in time for this broadcast. There's also just a high cost to abide by state and federal development standards in communities as remote as Kobuk. In coordinating logistics for this meeting, Leslie Lepley, a public involvement planner with Dow, says the company put up the money for everyone's transportation to Kobuk.
We had charter flights arranged to bring people from Ambler, and unfortunately, both runways got shut down in Ambler and our caravans couldn't land. So we had to rely on people boating. And then we're going to reimburse the city for that fuel. Some people came as individuals, and I also have fuel vouchers for them.
The state has held 29 community meetings like this one since it began working on the road project. That dialogue with communities is extremely important and required under federal law, but it is considerably more expensive in the Northwest Arctic borough than comparable projects might be in the lower 48 or on the road system. Planes were chartered, and even refreshments were no easy task.
55 pizzas.
Flying in all those pizzas, plus cans of pop from Kotzebue, cost over $1,500. For KNOM Profiles, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
Profiles is a production of KNOM News and Public Affairs.